It's Tuesday, September 9th,
2019.
It's July.
Oh, July, not September. Yeah, well, it's at the end of the quarter.
Well, the Bible tells us that that eternal life is to know the only true God. That's what it says. The problem is, how do you know Him? He's an invisible spirit, and so you can't see Him. And it says no man has ever seen Him. So, but the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. And so I got thinking about that. You know, not that that's a major thing, but in a way it is. And I thought, I was thinking about Charlie. He's born in Alaska. And Ray, you know, went to school in Alaska, I would imagine. And so what do I know about Charlie's background? I could speculate on it. I could write books on it. I could find some ideas of, you know, and when we got all done, it would even resemble the real Charlie. You know what I mean? The only way that I'm going to know anything about Charlie is from conversation with him. He's going to have to tell me about his childhood, his upbringing, and his... Are you following what I'm saying? I'm just making this for a point. So here we have a God who is... invisible, who wants us to know Him somehow. So how do you find out about Him? You listen to people that speculate, that have private interpretations, that are saying, well, He must be this, He must be that, He must be this, He must be that. Or do you listen to what He has to say? That's a real easy understanding. You know what I'm saying? You have to listen to Him to understand Him. So here we have God who has revealed Himself through His Son and has declared Himself. And the Bible says that He has declared Him. You know, the Son, the only begotten Son, has declared Him. But that's a declaration that God Himself has provided. God has given His Son understanding of Himself and said, here's what I want you to say. Here's what I want you to say. And so the Son has carefully, He said, no man knows the Father except the Son, and whosoever the Son will reveal Him to. Well, all revelation comes from God. With or without the Son, you know what I mean? Revelation comes from God. And I didn't mean with or without the Son. I meant, you know, but it doesn't matter. The vehicle that He chooses is still going to be His doing it as support that provides it. And so we don't know really much about God except what we have in the Scriptures. And God has considered that enough. That has satisfied Him. You know what I'm saying? So when God, what He does in order to explain Himself and reveal Himself, is He started out with the Old Testament prophets, and He gave a little to this one, a little to that one, a little more here, a little there, and whatever else. But it says, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by or through His Son. And the revelation by His Son is worth 10 times what the revelation or it's worth many, many times the revelation of what had come through the Old Testament prophets. And so, how important is it then that we listen to the Scriptures and get this embedded in our system? I don't know if you found me or not. I begin to see it. And here we are, we're listening to the Scriptures, and we're thinking, well, how valuable is this? Well, this is the revelation of God Himself through His Son, beginning with the prophets who are not as, I don't know what, I don't want to use the word trustworthy, but not as
not as much light.
Yeah, not as much ability or something. And so then, so he updates this whole thing, and he provides evidence or that's not the word, but information because about himself through his only begotten Son, and this is what we have come into through the listening to the Word of God. And so, what a phenomenal, awesome thing that God has done. I don't know if you follow what I'm saying.
I get it.
Yeah.
And I agree.
And so here we are. We're listening. It's like that scripture in the book of Acts where it's in the fourth chapter of John, where the Samaritan said, we believed when you told us about him yourself. But now we really believe. Why? Because we have heard him ourselves.
In the Gospel of John, but yeah.
Yeah, in the fourth chapter of John. And so it's like, if I'm going to understand the things of God, I'm going to understand from God's mouth, through the prophets, and through his only begotten Son. Are you following what I'm saying? That's how the revelation of truth is going to come. And so here we are. We have somehow, by the mercy of God, have come into that realm of thinking. But you know what? Most of the church hasn't. They don't understand that, you really believe when you hear him yourself. You're going to hear him through pastors and teachers and people that they don't even know him. So, but what they think they know, they're going to preach and teach, and that's what you're going to fall for. Do you follow me? So what has happened is that we've heard him ourselves, we are hearing him ourselves, and what a blessing it is.
Amen.
Amen.
I've wondered, if you have if you know God but you're off by 10 degrees, that might be idolatry, because it's a different thing than what he is that you're worshiping.
Exactly. Exactly, Charlie. Exactly.
And it can happen through man's doctrines.
It could happen to us really easy.
Off by 10 degrees, and you're just in idolatry. You're not. It's not him. It's a different thing.
Yeah,
namely an idol.
Yeah, I like your approach. I can understand how just a little bit off is a long ways off.
Yeah, I don't know how much give he provides.
Yeah.
Grayson goes 9 degrees, but boy, 10, you're dosed.
But at some point, it is. It's idolatry. You're worshiping a different thing than what.
Yeah.
If you worship Jesus as God, you're probably more than 10 degrees off.
I've repeated a number of times. Perhaps people are a little tired of hearing it, but nonetheless, I'll repeat it again. If you tell me what a wonderful auto mechanic I am, you are not complimenting me.
No.
You are just, it's got the form of a compliment, but you're not making me feel good about myself. All you're doing is demonstrating you don't know me.
No.
Yeah.
And in that same way, you can say, oh, wonderful Savior, our God. That's not making him feel good. It's just demonstrating that they don't know him.
No. So, Jesus says, no man knows the Father except the Son. And I'm thinking, is this a knowledge without understanding? How did he get this knowledge? But he gets it because it's God in him that is, what's the word that's used in Corinthians? Reconciling the world unto himself. It's God in him that's doing it. You know, so he says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And then he goes on to explain. In verse 10, he says that it's the Father that works in me that does the work. It's like it's revelation, 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 revelation. That should make us understand. It should make all people understand. But it should make us understand.
Yeah. You know, it occurs to me, when you approach the Gospels with an agenda, all you are doing is getting in the way of the Holy Spirit from revealing.
Exactly.
You're creating a great big roadblock for the Holy Spirit to be able to reveal what it is that this word says.
So that's why the other morning I kind of started a little goofy, but I'm talking about the Bible College framework within the schools or whatever, and I say, well, this is a Bible College, and I'm saying that's being pretty loose with it. A Bible College? They're really teaching the Bible? They teach what they think is the Bible. But when you're going to really teach the Bible, there has to be a Holy Spirit-led agenda. It can't be the mindsets of men. It can't be the wisdom of men. You know what I'm saying? It says the world by wisdom knew not God. And I want to say, the church by wisdom don't know him either. However, God wants us to be wise. He wants us to have wisdom. But the Bible doesn't say that the wisdom which comes from above is pure and holy. Is that what it says? I think in James. I can't say nothing. I can't read my Bible, so I have to trust somebody else.
That, you know.
Doesn't it say that somewhere? The wisdom which is from above?
Yeah, I think so. Two things. Sitting here all of a sudden, I felt like I could get just a glimpse of why Jesus could speak like he did. I mean, because the minute you realized, because your mother had to tell you how she conceived him, and you realize that his spirit over her is what made you, you start right away having a connection to, that's a horrible, don't think of it as a past word.
You know, yeah.
With your father that right away is going to start growing and nurturing because you know he's your father. So right away you start getting understanding that we haven't even come to now a lot of it, but if we, like I just, the little bit I just caught just now, when you start realizing what he said about God speaking in his word, and you start taking, you are going to start developing a relationship just like Jesus had.
Amen.
You know?
Yes.
It's going to build in you a relationship with God that you're going to start knowing him like he knew him. You know, but I mean, he's way ahead of us, obviously. Mm-hmm. But that's how he obviously he was communing with his father because it's his father, you know. And I commune with my father when I really could stop and let everything else, you know, but that doesn't happen all the time. It isn't every minute of the day like it probably was with him, you know. It doesn't keep me up at night doing it without sleep, you know, like it should, maybe. But it will. I know it will. And then, what was the other? There was 2 points. That was one of them. And then the other was, well, maybe it's the fact of that God is in this word. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of, the first part caught me so heavy I forgot the second. So,
Lord, refresh it.
Did you find
that? Yeah, James 3:17, King James. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy.
Okay. God wants us to have wisdom,
right.
but he's saying the wisdom of this world doesn't accomplish anything.
Oh, I know what the other point was. So, the biggest stumbling block for the church, professed church, however you know we say it, because they call themselves church, I guess. But what people can't that have the, and maybe, and it probably, obviously it takes God to reveal it, but if you do not see or can accept His Holy Spirit teaching you. I mean, I know a lot of people, what do you mean you heard from God, or what do you mean you were nice, or what, you know, they have no comprehension of that because they do not see that the work of His Spirit, what it does. And if you don't get that revelation that He gives you, like in 14, 15 of John, well, then you're just never going to be there. You're never going to get knowledge and wisdom because you aren't being taught by the one that gives it.
Yeah. I think they are functional non-believers in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Well, it takes a certain level of faith just to believe
that it will teach.
That God will talk to you.
Right.
A lot of people are out there going, no, He didn't talk to me.
Yeah.
He talks to someone else who talks to me, just like the Jews.
Yeah.
God talks to Moses.
Yeah.
Moses talks to me. And that is scriptural. You've got 3/4 of the Bible says that. So you have to have the revelation that, no, God will talk directly to you as Jesus said He would. Because Jesus said, I will send you the comfort.
And they misconstrued the ministries, the fivefold, all that, so badly.
Mm-hmm.
And just built it themselves, you know, to teach and try
and
to perceive and, you know.
That's why it says repeatedly, I mean a number of times it says, you don't have need that any man teach you.
Right.
You will be taught by the Spirit. See, I mean, it's
Now, the scriptures are quite clear.
It's pretty clear.
Absolutely.
God.
I was going to switch gears if you had exhausted that. Okay. I was mowing my lawn this morning early when it was cooler, and, you know, so you've got a lot of time to think. Make sure you don't move off the line, and, you know, so you've got time. And it occurred to me, I was thinking about people that we know and our concerns about, you know, maybe they had the vision, they've lost the vision, and, you know, and it occurred to me, you know, you have to be willing, and how open you have to be that you have something wrong or you have something right. You know, you have to be open to the fact that the Holy Spirit, you know, you're going down a path and you're on this line and you go, yeah, but that's the wrong line. You know, we were kind of talking about parallel paths. And I'm not saying one's better than the other, but I keep reminding myself that human nature being what it is, we screw up so often that to think that I found the right path is just prideful. Unless, you know, I feel the path I'm on is just totally guided by the Spirit. So you have to be open to the fact that there's going to be a correction or an adjustment, or you're going to miss it.
Right.
Kind of back to your just 10 degrees off, and you're down a dead alley, spiritual dead alley. And it just, that was impressed upon me today, like, yeah, this is all good, and yeah, I think this is right, and yeah, this is what I know, and I go, yeah, and I have to be open for more revelation and correction.
We do. Let me say, I've spent enough time over there to conclude that, no, I don't want to be there. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Place I want to be is here.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, now, you know, do that what you will. But, you know, other people, I guess, have come to a different conclusion. You know,
I started out, I wasn't in the context of anybody else. It was just, you know, we're sometimes wondering, oh, how are they there and we're here? And, you know, and so I was just being cope with the fact that I might have to, you know, God asked Abraham to take his son. You know. So you have to be open that you know.
Which is not to guarantee that we're absolutely right on.
Yeah, not disregarding the other point that I, you know, this is what I believe to be true. I believe we're on the right path.
Yeah, right.
And that's why I tend to stay.
Yeah, they could call for adjustments. No,
but and it might not even call us out to change. How? It's just because the Spirit will guide us on that too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I was just impressed upon my spirit. And I guess another way to think of it is, am I still coming as a little child? Am I still keeping myself open to be taught? Am I still being humble?
I tell you, I am developing a lot of confidence in the process that goes on here. I'm developing a lot of confidence in that. I think we're doing things in a way that gets at what? Is going on in the spirit. I think we are.
I think the format is good.
I don't have a lot of confidence in me. At least I hope I don't. You know, but I've got a lot of confidence in this process.
Well, it's obvious that God wants us to know Him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But not only Him, but He wants us to know the man Christ Jesus. And so, if we treat Him as a deity or as a spirit person, amen, when the Bible doesn't call Him that, there's something wrong with our philosophy to start with. So we have to, you know, the Bible calls Him the man Christ Jesus, that He is a mediator as a man. And so if we take Him and make Him a mediator as a God, we're way off somewhere.
Sure.
Yeah, to loop back to what Charlie said in the beginning.
Yeah.
If you approach God, Christ as a deity, you don't impress Christ. All you do is let Him know that you don't know Him.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Right before I came, I just thought I'd look through the scriptures and we'll see if anything. So I happened to open the Revelation, and in chapter 15, verse 3, let me go to 2. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who had the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of gold. They sing the song of Moses, the sermon of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested." Does God, one God, sing to another God? I mean, it's the song of the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, boy, is that a vivid demonstration of the difference, you know, that there's the humanity and there's the, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
This is off the subject a little bit, but I have been thinking a lot lately about baptism. And John 8:37, I can't read it, but anyway, if somebody can find it, read it. This is the picture of the Ethiopian eunuch, and he wanted to be baptized. And Philip says to him, he said, "Well, if you believe, you can be." And he said, "Here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" He said, "Well, if you believe, you can be." And he said, "I believe. Go ahead."
8:37?
Acts 8:37. What did I say?
John.
I'm sorry. Okay. Acts 8:37.
Because all of a sudden I went, nope.
That's not in John.
I don't remember any Ethiopian eunuch.
John, it's in Acts 8:37. I only know because I looked up a little while ago.
Yeah, okay. Well, you mean to read it? Or? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart.
Believe what? What do you believe?
You may. Go ahead. You may, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
That was the confession that worked, huh?
You know what? That's not a complete revelation. But that's a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not complete. So what would you say? Now that we have understood what we've understood, I believe that Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, was the only begotten Son of the living God. The man Christ Jesus. Is that what you'd say?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be a format for baptism?
Mm-hmm. Does it work for the Ethiopian eunuch?
Yeah, see, that's a... Well, in each case, the jailer or the jailers that were in jail, you know, they... Before Paul, they made a confession. And each one of them is making a confession. And I'm saying, okay, we're going to baptize based on what we now understand. So our revelation is, I believe that Jesus Christ was the only begotten man son of the living God. Was he a man son? Is that what he said?
Yeah.
So is he a spirit being? He let us know he wasn't, even after he rose from the dead. Does a spirit have flesh and blood, as you see, or flesh and bones, as you see me? You know what I mean? He's going to return in the same way that he leaves. When he comes back, we're going to be like him. We're going to see him as he is. How much evidence do we need? So will you say, well, I believe, you know, okay, you're going to be baptized. Based on what? Well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten man, son of God. In order to be begotten, you have to be a man. If he was begotten as a spirit, wouldn't he be a created being? Do you follow me? In order to be begotten, you have to have a mother. There has to be a woman involved. Which makes it kind of hard to understand since God is the one, the Father. You know what I mean? So this gets to be it gets to be difficult, but at the same time, it really isn't.
You know, years ago we noted that, Jesus' father was God. And that's also true of Adam, you know.
Yeah.
Who was the Son of God?
Yeah.
You know, here we are, you know.
But the word that I'm taking is the only begotten. Adam was not begotten.
Yeah.
Adam was created. Just like we're talking about Melchizedek. He was made, but he wasn't begotten. The only one ever begotten was Jesus Christ.
There is a scripture that refers
us being begotten by the
word. Yeah, right.
But being begotten by the word of God.
Which would make sense if you're born again.
Yeah, being born again, sure. I think it's in Peter, but I'm not sure.
You know, just this show, I feel like they made a mistake in this Bible.
Oh, I wouldn't believe that.
because I was reading through chapter 15 and then 16.
Of what?
Of Revelation. And it's like, so this is where the seven angels are going out to do some plagues and everything. And okay, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and in the whole world. to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now, all before this, this is all God that we're, you know, there's no mention anywhere before all this of Christ. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Well, write that, behold, I'm, they made it a red letter. God comes as a thief also. I mean, so they just automatically, because Jesus gave the parable of coming, the thief in the night.
I'm sorry, what chapter and verse was that?
This is in 1615.
Okay.
Yeah.
What translation?
This is the New King James.
Oh, New King James.
But, you know, it's a red letter edition.
Yeah. So, now, is the red letter just the words Christ, or is it
supposed
the words
to be
God?
Just the words Christ?
It's not the word of God, no?
No. I mean,
it's when basically when Christ is speaking out of his mouth.
Yeah, I get that. But yeah. But when the Father says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased,"
that wouldn't be red.
That's not red.
Huh? No.
Okay. Yeah. Well.
So they just kind of took the liberty of throwing that in there.
I can't believe they do that.
Is it Revelation 15, 16?
No, Revelation 16, 16 15.
16, 15.
See, now, if you don't have a red letter edition?
No, I do.
Oh.
And mine's not.
Yours isn't?
No, I am, but I've got the King James. I don't have the New King James.
Yeah, now why, what the heck is going on there? You know?
So this is all, this is why I was double-checking. So, this reads, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame.
Yeah, it's almost word for word.
Yeah. And then,
but there's another place, I think, in Revelations where they took the same liberty. And it really doesn't line up with Jesus saying it.
You know, that red letter business, I don't think that's a very good idea. Because of there's times where there's just genuine ambiguity.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, it does help in a sense, but, you got to be aware. You got to be discerning.
Yeah.
You know? And you know what? You're right. It's bad if people just automatically believe it.
Yeah, oh, Jesus.
They don't, but if you're listening to Todd, or whatever, you know, little here, little there, then you start, the Spirit gives you discernment that says, wait a minute, that's not who's speaking there, you know. Because some people, yeah, like you say, will take and make a stand on all that's said and read, which for the most part, it is all Christ, you know. But there are, I got a couple places where I know it's not. It's so. But then again, that's in this translation.
That's interesting, the Corky's.
Yeah, Corky's, regular King James doesn't have it yet, but
it's pretty old, edition.
You know. Is it a red letter edition?
This is a red letter edition.
Of course, I doubt very much that it has anything to do with translation. It's just who the publisher is or something, you know.
There's a red there, but not here in Revelation.
Right.
not in.
You know. I don't know who gets to decide what goes red.
I
don't know this translation.
Well,
it would be.
But more to your point.
Yeah.
It'd be
some guy.
Whoever wanted
some smart guy.
Some smart guy. Said, well, yeah, I'm sure it has to do with the people involved with the publishing of the New King James.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure.
Or, I don't know, you might find a different edition of the King James, New King James
that might not
by a different publisher that...
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Be don't interesting. Know. Well, I'd be interesting to see what the NIV says, if it has that.
Well, I can look it up, although I don't know that it...
Does it
probably will not show it as red.
Yeah.
Necessarily when you... I have one at home, and I think it's a red letter edition also. I'll have to see. But Yeah, it kind of can be a crutch, you know.
Yeah, it's
that you automatically assume, but for the most part, I mean, 99% of it is all Christ speaking.
You know, you can go too far with those gripes. The verses and the chapters are not in the original. That's
right.
Somebody else cooked up, and you know, sometimes they could be, hey, they're breaking up two things that ought to be all put together, you know.
Yeah, which we've learned to read around every scripture that we center on.
Right.
See, you know, because if you shut off at a chapter or something, you can miss some of the relevance that's supposed to keep either be involved with it or, you know.
The biggest thing on our part is the confidence and the faith in God to get us there.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's a good chance that some of these translations are nutso.
Well,
we know they are.
I mean, that part doesn't necessarily stumble me.
Yeah.
A man was involved.
Well, the fact that we have manuscripts that are 300 or 400 years after Christ, you know, as far as they're concerned, people are concerned, those are legitimate. But when you realize that in 300 or 400 years, a lot of things have transpired, so you got different doctrines that have come in, different ideas that have come in, and so they're now saying that the Trinity is legitimate. You know, and so whenever you see the Trinity, it's okay. We've got scholars that have got a revelation from God that the Trinity is what it, is the thing that we're supposed to have, and so I mean it's a strange thing that we don't see more of the Trinity in some of our Bibles. I mean, it's only the grace and the mercy of God that has kept it out.
There's been protection.
He's been protecting us. But if you want it, and you want to believe it false, he'll let you have it.
Yeah.
That's what's scary. So you can think you're doing the right thing, and you can be wrong. That's scary. And
stay humble.
Yeah, I don't want to do it. I got too old. You know, no more walks around the mountain. I can't walk anywhere, but no more of that, you know. No more connection moves. I've had enough of it. Stupid. Whoops, that's on the tape, but...
There was this little girl the other day in camp. Just cute little girl. She's so funny and cute. Anyway, she got stung by a bee in the ear. Her ear was, like, super big. And red. I told her, hey, let's pray for your ear. So I pray for her ear, whatever. There was this little girl standing next to her, and she said, hey, can you pray for my cat that died to come back from the dead? I said, no, I can't pray for that. I don't know what it is. I could, but I don't. I wouldn't.
Not quite there yet, eh?
No, not right.
You're working on it, but not quite raising the dead.
Right, no, on all kitties.
Especially kitties.
Right.
Well, you know, you think about, we were talking about Christ coming back and he making a point that he's flesh, and, you know, you go, and how did he go through the door? You know, and every now and then I let my brain wander too far and forget, but, you know, just because every example of flesh that we've seen means that you need sleep and you need food and you need to open doors, doesn't mean that flesh that God touches needs any of those things. you know, and so you just have to, like, remember to go, he can do anything. So you don't need food. You don't need sleep. You can pass through solid objects, even though you're still bone. And you go, and how is that possible? And you go, because God can do anything.
Doesn't it seem that way with Philip? At the thing we were talking about.
Yeah.
And the Spirit and took Philip away. Well, it sounds like he took him immediately away.
Kind of does, doesn't it?
Yeah, they both came out of the water, but the only one was there.
Mm-hmm. Right. He found at Azotus.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And then later it says he was found at Azotus. I just read that again because I was thinking, well, you know, maybe there's a little process for a gap there, but there really isn't.
But what we were missing, and of course this is what requires faith, is we want to have Philip saying, hey, I don't know what happened, but the next thing I knew, I was 400 miles away, and God did it. You know, we're looking for the testimony of the miracle. But it's implied. So you got to read and go, well, he quote-unquote transported him from one place to another in a blink of an eye.
Yeah, it says, now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more.
Right.
And he went on his way rejoicing.
He saw the miracle. He went, God must have done something because the dude was right here.
Yeah, and then it says, but Philip was found at Azotus.
Yeah.
You know, it is funny. Jesus' nature after the resurrection, though.
Yeah.
Because, yes. You know, you stick your hand in the, you know, so he's pretty bodily.
Yeah.
But then he goes through a wall, which is kind of like a spirit.
They went through the wall to have someone put their hands in the...
Yeah, right.
First went through the wall, and by the way, see the boomer? Yeah.
And so, you know, it's a funny mixed message we get about what the resurrected Christ was all about. And that people didn't recognize him either.
Yeah,
you know?
And that just goes right into that conundrum.
I don't know that the fact that he went through a wall makes him one or makes him another. Because even before he rose from the dead, Jesus walked on water.
Yeah,
and then immediately they were, like in an instant, mm-hmm. they were back on the shore.
Yeah.
So then
they said, is it a spirit? So, which is basically the same thing they were saying. You know.
So I don't know that I don't know that the scripture is trying to say he is this or he isn't this. I was trying to say several things, but this is what we're talking about. I don't think that you are limited. With God, all things are possible. You know what I mean? So, are you flesh? Are you spirit?
You were right. Walking on water was a kind of a non-body kind of thing to do.
Well, and then one place it says, and they were going to throw him up, and he passed through.
He walked right through. Right through their midst.
Right.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the reason I think it comes up is because the scriptures make certain statements, like flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. So that's why I think you go, well, so then what is, you know, what are you when you're in the kingdom of God? I'm sure there is a difference.
Right.
But
right.
as far as on this earth, God can right. still do whatever he wants with whoever, you know.
Well, when it does say, you know, we'll have a new body, but that body, see, we are limited to thinking flesh and blood.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, God doesn't need flesh and blood to make a body.
No.
So it just, it's a body, but...
I guess I would maintain that, you know, all those funny things that are going on are to cause this very kind of reflection. And you're right. The upshot of it is God can do whatever God wants to do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these apparent contradictions are to confuse the wise.
Exactly, yeah.
Because you're right. Walk on water? Not many people do that.
Mm-hmm.
God, well, when Jesus was doing it, was he a spirit or was he a man? Mm-hmm. Well, we know he was a man, but he did spirit-like things. Right?
Yeah, so did Peter turn into a spirit for four steps?
Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
You know? Right?
Yeah.
And I'm still claiming Ben's dream
what's the four
or
steps?
Whatever it was. When
you yeah, well, yeah, a number of steps. Yeah.
How many steps was it?
Four, was it four?
Yeah. I don't know if it's
I
four.
Believe three.
I say, I don't know.
It just says you walk. But the interesting thing is, he stopped walking because his
faith
ran away. His faith is fighting his natural eye. He's fighting his eyes, and he goes, I can't be doing this. And he starts to sink. Jesus Christ.
You know, Charlie, that vision, I don't know that necessarily I was walking on the water.
Whoever it was.
It was just that. Faith said anybody could. If you have
water
the
was
faith,
walked on.
Yeah, water well, can walk on the water.
You know, one thing I shared about walking on water some time ago with Jesus, you know, there are so many teachings that you can get from the walking on water. But so Peter, you know, Jesus has come over and whatever. So first of all, Jesus says, you know, Peter says, if it is you, you know, tell me to come. So if it's you, so you have to be instructed. Anyways, the Jesus is walking. Peter is walking on water. He's looking at Jesus. And then what is Peter doing? He takes his eyes away from Jesus.
Yeah, he looks
and starts looking around. See, the problem wasn't the high waves or the wind. The problem was that he took his eyes away from Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made him sink. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can walk on water, who cares if there's a waste of wind?
Yeah, right.
It doesn't even make sense. I can walk in water if it's calm. Calm water.
You know, now that, see, with faith, that dream I had, kind of was saying that it just makes it look like it's just glass. So, you know, it's like to go along with what you're saying. If you got your eye on him, you don't see any waves or anything. You just see, just start walking.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, I got to take a step up higher to get over this wave.
No. and surely, I don't know about surely, but I would kind of think that dream is indicative of a kind of faith.
Yeah, it was
which
all
would be perhaps the sole of the feet did not touch H2O. That could be, but it was faith of that sort.
Yeah, right. Yeah, to me, I was impressed more with the faith than any of the physicals. You know,
I kind of like that faith as being manifested by walking on water, but
Well, it's a great sign, and it, but it's a good way to add there, Pablo, because if you're keeping your eye on Jesus and you're not worried about anything else, what cannot be done?
Right.
Because it feeds right into all things are possible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so, you know, I'm going to go home tonight and go, so, things I can't do? Because I don't have faith.
But, you know, just rewinding a couple of verses that, you know, like I mentioned, Jesus, Peter said, Lord, he says, if it is you, command me to come on.
Which is a curious thing.
Right.
Yeah, that's it is.
Yeah.
If it's you.
Uh-huh. And logically, see, I would have been in the boat. I'm logical. So I'm thinking, well, I'll just wait for Jesus to come in the boat.
Seems like he's doing fine on his own.
Right.
I don't need to go meet him.
Right. At some point you get here. But you know what other thing he says super interesting? He says, Jesus was, and he would have passed them by. He says that.
He's just going to go to the other side.
Almost like he wasn't planning on stopping by the boat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he would have passed them. So at some point they must have seen his back. You know, that's how you know he's passing by, or his side, or something. He wasn't going their direction. So then they start making noise or something, screaming.
Where is that city? Do you know exactly?
Well, it's a couple different times.
Yeah, there's more than once. I'm trying to find it in Matthew. I found the one where he calmed the sea because he was in the boat sleeping, you know. But that's not...
Water doesn't stand much of a chance when Jesus is
called. Oh, here it is.
Matthew 14:20. Now that you make that comment, so was it faith that Peter was exhibiting, keeping his eyes, or was it obedience? Well, or maybe there's some, maybe a little bit of both. But I mean, but we're commanded to seek the word. Not that it changes, but
you look at the circumstance that brings in unbelief, I think.
Yeah. Well, you got to be. I was told to do this one. So
clarify, at least in Matthew, it says, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them."
Okay.
Walking on the sea, and when the disciples saw him walking, but it might say a little different.
Mark 6:48-ish.
What?
Mark 6:48-ish is the other.
Okay.
The other.
Mark 6:48. Yeah, because he said, "Well, they screamed and cried out, 'It's a ghost!' Cried out for fear." Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, it was boisterous.
Right.
He was afraid and began to sink, crying out, "Save me."
But see, it says in 48, it says,
Command
to them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them.
That's a different.
But when they saw him, they supposed it was the Spirit and cried out. Or they all saw him and were troubled. Immediately he talked to them and said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid."
Does that one say anything about Peter?
You know what? No,
Peter here.
Mm.
They were jealous.
Mark was jealous.
Mark didn't want to give Peter.
John doesn't have it in his either.
I always go to Luke.
All right.
Luke's got the diary.
What does he say here at the end of this? He says, "And he went up into them, into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." What does the miracle of loaves have to do with anything?
I know, that's right. Well, because they just saw a miracle.
Yeah, but they've been seeing miracles all along.
Well, so it's just kind of saying, you got to start remembering.
It just did occur, but yeah, you're...
Kind of like, because they were still in, you know, learning and gaining in their walk.
See, and it says, you know, for they consider not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Going back to, you know, if they don't listen to Moses, neither they listen to one come from the dead. So it's not so much about what you hear and what you see, but your heart is to be softened. God needs to soften your heart before you hear any word in order for it to take root, basically.
Right.
Amen.
And that's, you know, kind of like when we were talking earlier. If people can't see that the Holy Spirit can teach them, well, it's because God hasn't shown them yet.
You're right.
And he may not show some of them because their heart is hard. You know, I mean, we don't know which ones he's, you know, hardened or not. So you want to try to point everybody to it because you don't know
right
who's going to be the right one or not, you know.
So getting back to the what I heard, you know, 20 years ago, if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. And the thing is, people are not looking to find God. They're looking for evidence from the scriptures to prove their doctrines.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know what? Been there, done that. I did that for years. I looked for any evidence I could find to prove what Don Burnett was teaching.
It is not a search for the truth.
No.
Despite the
name
of the program.
It's a search to prove what you think is the truth.
A search to permit you to remain comfortable.
Yeah.
No.
And so if we can, you know, so that's why what I want to do on my birthday is I want to have Chelsea make me a cake. And I want to put on it a Matthew 18:3. I don't know the whole thing or part of it. And with about 6 candles. And just for the purpose or the reason for it is just to prove a point. Except you become converted and become as little children, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Is that kind of serious or is that not?
Sounds pretty serious to me.
Unless you become converted. Except you become converted. There's the except or unless. Matthew 18:3. What does it say?
Matthew 18:33.
Except ye be converted.
Except. Okay, except. Does that leave any ifs and ands or way out?
Well, shall not ought to do it too.
Yeah.
It's not like maybe. It shall not.
Except.
Yeah.
Except. Unless.
Yeah.
If you don't become converted, you're on the other side of this thing.
And it's coupled with becoming as a little children. You could kind of figure, okay, I've been converted, but that little children deal is.
And the thing does not mean, we can see from the other scriptures, we can see it doesn't mean that you live your life as a little child. Because the Bible says that you have to grow up, to grow out of that. No more being children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. You know what I mean? So it doesn't mean you stay there, but that's the attitude that you develop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So now I want to hear from God. I want to hear from God. I don't want to hear from Fred Smith anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, you stay open as a little child.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But then you should gain wisdom by that, which will mature you.
Yeah, but no longer staying as little children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine.
Yeah, actually,
but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him.
Following,
says Ephesians 4.
Following 18:4 to the child concept, it says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child.
Yeah.
So I think to your point, Ken, as long as be like a child, you may learn something, but remain humble even though you gain
that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I didn't know who would be coming to my birthday party, but
well, I was going to make a comment about only 6 candles and no one buying it, but if you're trying to make the illustrate the other point about children. Okay.
I would suggest whoever comes, ask one of them to take a picture with their cell phone and post it.
Yeah. I have never wanted a birthday party. This one I want. Joanne would get a big kick out of that.
Sure.
I've never wanted one. All of a sudden I do. I wanted to show a point. Except you become converted. Except unless you become converted and become a little children. Except it's not, well, maybe you could or maybe you should. You have no way around it. If you don't do it, you're gonna be lost. So what do you do? We're listening to the scriptures. How? As little children. God hides these things from the wise and the prudent. Well, not the church, not the Christian wise, but from the worldly wise, and reveal them to babes. You know what I mean? For so it seemed good in your sight. That's kind of scary, you know. I mean, God is the one behind it. He's the one that hides it from the worldly wise and reveals it to babes. I didn't do it. He did. So I hear a voice and it says, if you want to find me, I still don't know the source of the voice. If you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. So what's going on? All of a sudden, we're becoming kind of understanding the source of truth. How you get it? You don't get it by your mind concepts and your thinking process. You don't get it that way. You get it by hearing the Word of God, and you listen to the Word of God, and you listen to the Word of God, and you hear the Word of God. And a good example is Carol. She's been listening to the Word, and I'm not saying that she's turned into a Apostle Paul, but she's really changed. It has the Word of God has a way of doing something that nothing else can do. And that's what we're in the process of understanding that. We're starting to understand it. And no wonder it says that the Word of God is perfect and converts the soul. It can do it without anything else, just by listening to it. I was telling them, Pablo, about Sunday morning about your turning the scriptures on in the little campsite. And where they're... Everybody else has their music, and you might as well have yours. And we're talking about it, and I thought it was that you were having something on Sunday morning, but so we prayed for you. Mm-hmm. But it was already on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
But I said, you know what? I saw that area up there a year ago. It was in the wintertime, and I could feel it. I thought, this is... You take a place like this and turn Joanne loose. Just turn her loose. And it's not long. She knows everybody there. She's praying with everybody there. You know, I'm familiar with this. She embarrassed me because I wasn't so gung-ho. It wasn't long as she'd be praying with them, you know. And nobody dared tell her, I got a problem. Oh, well, let me pray for you. Mm-hmm. Does that sound like candy?
Yeah.
Like mother, like daughter. Or like daughter, like mother. Or however you say it. I found her this little thing I had downstairs that says, mirror, mirror on the wall. I am my mother after all.
Back on that setting of Jesus walking on water, it's interesting the differences between Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
What does Luke say?
Luke says, now it came to pass on a certain day, he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth, but as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. And they arrived at the country of the...
Yeah, but that's a different setting.
That must not be the walking on water.
Well, no, I wonder if there is a walk on... Peter walks on the water, or a walk on the water in Luke.
Well, I wondered that too. And the next thing... And they arrived at the country of the Galdarena. Okay, which was exactly what it said...
Oh, really?
Which is exactly what it said in Mark... Because it says, when it gets all done, and it says, and when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. I mean, the same, it was the same. Because I thought, gee, these are different. And then I want to make sure I wasn't.
But in Matthew, it says it both things.
Well, maybe they are different.
Well, it's not impossible to say.
Luke does not have walking on water.
Yeah, no, he doesn't have to say that. But because when he walks on water, I don't have all three Bible, all three, but when he walks on water, he's in the water, and then when this whole thing is done and said, they were on land.
Right.
They went to land like quickly.
But in the one setting, it never, when he walks on the water, it doesn't say he calmed the water. He just got in the boat.
Right, right. But see, in Luke, he said that Jesus was in the boat, sleeping, and they woke him up.
Right.
So that seems to me that it's a different
well, that,
day.
Yeah, well, that was the first thing I thought. But then again, I thought, well, maybe the gospels on certain details don't all line up. So I,
You know, it's possible that let's say because that Jesus, all this happened, and after they Jesus woke up, I don't know, he left the boat walking, and then he went to leave, and then they called him, something like that. If it's the same. You know, so they are right to the same.
They could have went to that same country twice, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know if that's absolute proof.
And one time they had two guys that were in the tomb.
Well, I think they are two different, they indicate two different cities. Luke, so I might not be reading in the right place in Luke. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, a Gadarenes,
right.
Whereas in Mark, it's saying Genesaret, Genesaret.
So it is two different
places.
I don't know if it's got to be. There are only so many places in, you know.
Well, that's true. The sea did calm when he got in the boat in Matthew.
No, but I'm saying in Luke, at least, it arrived to a different place after that.
Well, at first, when I first only checked the first four letters of the two cities,
right.
I said it was talking about the same place. I was surprised at the difference. Then as I look at the whole word of the city, and so I'm just bringing up, I may be totally steering us down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, Matthew, yeah, it says, and when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Genesaret. And when the men of that place recognized, they sat on all the surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick and begged him that they might only touch the hem. There's never anything about the two or the one guy in the tombs. So that's a different situation, I would say.
Could be.
It says the one about Peter, but I think earlier it says the one about when he was in the boat and the storm came up and then they awoke him.
He rebuked the storm.
And he rebuked the storm.
You know, they did a lot of traveling in boat, so there's several boat stories.
Yeah, right.
That's how they get around the myth.
I do find it interesting. That is such a familiar story that you expect to find in more than one gospel of Peter,
right?
You know.
Right.
Yeah, you would have think they would have made a bigger deal of walking on water.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of a try and say, you know,
yeah, different things to say.
This is a guy that walks on water.
Because you gave up, you idiot.
We're
not going to talk about you.
Maybe Peter took the scripts and slipped that in there.
it appears that Matthew liked Peter more than Mark.
Right, Luke, right. Yeah. I think they get along very well.
Well, he might not have walked on water in Luke, but he does a bunch of really good things.
Yeah.
Well, and the two seem so similar that I guess I wasn't aware of two settings.
No, that is.
You're trying to find the other one that I read in Matthew because I know I read it. Looking for the one about Peter, and I read about the other one.
Well, walking on water.
Kind of hard to find those places sometimes.
And John 6:19.
What's that?
When they rode about 3 or 4 miles they saw Jesus approaching the boat walking on the water, and they were frightened.
But he doesn't say Peter walked on the water.
I didn't get to John 6:20 yet. I just searched on walking on water, but what I find interesting about that is we all four Gospels have a reference about this, which makes sense.
Okay, I did find the other place in Matthew. It's in 8, begins in 8:23. Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came in, woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there is a great calm. And then where does it say they ended up?
Where do they land, yeah.
Then when he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gergenes, there met him two demon-possessed men.
Okay, so...
so it is two different places.
It could be two different places.
Yeah, it's two different
places. So Matthew says that one and the Peter?
And the Peter one.
Okay, it is definitely two different things.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matthew. Yeah.
100%. One's in
8,
and the other one, I think, was in, where is that,
15? I didn't know that there was any place in John that said about...
I remember reading
that
in John.
That surprises me.
But yeah. I remembered that he never mentioned Peter.
Well, where does it say that? John what?
John 6:19, I think it is. I'm just trying to try and go further on in Luke and see if Luke chronicles the second boat.
Well, by rights, it should be earlier, because it's earlier in Matthew, but I don't know if that means anything.
Which one is first?
When he gets in the boat with the disciples, okay. And they start crossing, okay. And then the storm comes.
Yeah, so look, I'm looking for when they're not in the boat all together, but when he joins them later.
You're right.
So what did you read, John 6?
Yes. Yep.
What did you think? Did it shed more
different? Light? Well, I find it interesting, but it's a different deal altogether. Jesus has control over water. That much is.
Yeah.
Where at it, John?
John 6.
6:19.
You know, and a few verses before, a few verses after.
Huh. This is crazy. Now I can't find the second place. Yeah.
How does it say that? Have you got it right there?
I'm getting there. Well, Charlie already looked it up, too. 6. So I just searched on walk on water, and that's when I saw John. But
I must have missed it in Matthew again.
So
the second one in Matthew.
And they entered a ship, and they went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking under the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, "It is I, be not afraid." Then they willingly received him unto the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. So Peter didn't walk. He wasn't commanded to come. And there they were.
You know, just going back a bit, but see, now you have a boat and a whole crew going through a wall, basically. You know what I mean? Right. In this same...
You get control over things.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, which was, I think, one of the big, you know, what manner of man is this, to come, that the winds and the sea and the winds and the water obey him.
Right.
And considering that at that time they had no control over that. I mean, some of those guys are fishermen, and they go,
right.
We have, what do you mean you can tell it to calm down so we can head back in?
Yeah.
I mean, it really spoke to the core of this is not normal. Mm-hmm. I mean, for them.
You know, changing the subject a bit. Last week we were talking about the things of
that God has prepared for us shows the love of him. And, you know, I think about that a lot. You know, that, you know, and that hasn't entered into man's heart, you know. So you can't imagine, really. And so I know you are in the world, right? And I mean, the world, I believe, is a beautiful place to be. You know what I mean? It's, you go outside, you know what I mean? It's beautiful, right? And I like it. I like the world. I know I don't want to leave the world. And I like it, you know what I mean? It's whatever, but you think, okay, imagine that you will, so I like the world, you know, I enjoy it, right? At the same time, the devil is the god of the world. So now think, now, I'm content. I don't want to say I love the world. I'm content with the world where the devil lives. Now imagine a place without the devil. You know what I mean? That's what God has for us. Because so I'm going to repeat. Imagine how amazing this world is with the devil. Imagine what God has for us without the devil.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then imagine what it would be like if God's not present at all.
Oh, can you imagine that?
That's what hell is.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Oh.
Yeah.
That's worse.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Just a little
people bit. Don't realize how good they have it because he hasn't completely withdrawn.
Yeah.
You know? Because it makes a mention of that. That
their days have seemed really bad, but when you think about it, not so bad at all.
What seems really bad?
There are days on this earth that don't seem so good. They seem bad.
No, what days?
There are days.
Oh, there are days.
You have, days. Yeah. The child doesn't come in. You have days and you go, not so happy with this world. And you go,
Not
so bad if you think about it. The devil had free reign.
A lot of times, this is a sentence I use often with my kids, with my wife, whatever. You know, something goes bleh, I tell them, welcome to living in the world.
That's good.
I do. Yeah, welcome to the world. If this was heaven, I wouldn't. But this.
Well, that's a wrap for tonight. Love you.